Welcome all of you to the OU Israel Le'ila Rosh Chodesh Elul seminar. It's crazy that we're sitting here at an Elul seminar preparing for Rosh Hashanah, at least for me. I don't know, I feel like because of Corona, we're in a very big like time warp and we don't know where we're at. It doesn't feel like we've even had the summer yet. And even the holidays that passed already, Pesach, Shavuos, we're so different that we don't really know where we're at. And suddenly I'm here telling you that we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah. And that seems pretty crazy. And the truth is that it's not really Rosh Hashanah yet. It's Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's not Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. But we all know that we're meant to prepare 30 days before every holiday, and especially for the Yamim Noraim, right? You can't expect to just simply show up at shul for Rosh Hashanah or for Yom Kippur. And all your sins will be forgiven and you'll be inscribed for a good year without even preparing for it. No, we really need to prepare ourselves. We need to work on ourselves for a month to get to that point that we're really ready for Rosh Hashanah. And I think that this year, even more so. Okay, we're already in this like introspective state. You know, first, everyone trying to figure out at the beginning what was going on with Corona. Why is there Corona? Everyone trying to internalize different messages that Hashem is in control, that we're not in control. And then as each person really, I think a lot of people spent a lot of time reinventing themselves, right? Trying to figure out who they are, maybe reinventing their job position, their goals. Corona has really kind of taken us for a spin and made us just have to introspect a lot. And we need this time now to introspect as well for Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and also because this Rosh Hashanah, we really don't know what it's going to be like, right? We don't know. Are we going to be able to attend shul, right? Is there going to be a women's section? You know, if we have children, young children, and we usually would take them with us and let them play outside, but now they can't really. So can we come to the shul? And even if we do come, what's going to be like? If there's only 10 men in the minyan, you know, how inspirational will those tunes be with a handful of people singing? And, you know, what will our Yom Tov meals look like if we don't have any guests? Are we going to go to Tashlich? There's so many unanswered questions. It's so different from what we, you know, we usually have expectations. We know this is what Rosh Hashanah looks like to me, and I can prepare for that. But now we have no idea, right? And we don't know what Rosh Hashanah will look like the same way that we don't know what next week, next month, tomorrow will look like. So we have to take time now to prepare ourselves to really be able to create our own Rosh Hashanah experience, because we don't know a lot about the externals. We don't know what's going to be around in the external world to inspire us to have a meaningful Rosh Hashanah. But what we do know is that there will be a Rosh Hashanah, and we will have ourselves to create the reality of what our Rosh Hashanah is going to look like inside. Okay, I remember very clearly my first Rosh Hashanah as a mother. Okay, I had always been a very serious shul goer. And for the first year after I had my son, I went to shul every week. The first week even, everyone thought I was crazy. I came with the baby to shul. Okay, and he would behave himself and sit there quietly and I would daven. And somehow I thought that would go on forever. And Rosh Hashanah came. We had just moved to the Upper East Side of Manhattan to a shul, which was, you know, very proper type of shul. Everyone was very refined. And my son was 11 months old at the time. And I realized there was no way I could bring him into shul with me, because if you would make even a peep, that would not look good, right? So I hired a babysitter, a non-Jewish babysitter, to come to the shul and watch him in one of the side rooms. And, you know, I'm all excited. I'm ready to go to shul. I bring my Legos with me. Everything's going to be great. And the babysitter doesn't show up. And I was so depressed. I was miserable. I felt like, what was I supposed to do now? I'm going to spend Rosh Hashanah at home, davening at home without a minyan, without people there, trying to take care of my baby. What kind of Rosh Hashanah would it be? But I realized that this is what the circumstance Hashem had put me in, and I had to deal with it. And so I began to daven on my own. And I davened at my own pace, and I sang, and I introspected, and it was Rosh Hashanah. And it was a very, very powerful message to me, even till this day. Right? We can't control what happens around us, but we can control what goes on inside us, right? And we'll probably experience a very imperfect type of Rosh Hashanah this year. And we can complain about it and we can be depressed, or we can meet the challenge head on and we can understand that we need to serve Hashem in whatever situation he places us in. So we need to prepare ourselves in advance. Okay, we need to work on the meaning in our tefillah, understanding the words of the machzor, tapping into the special koach of our own tefillah, even if that tefillah will be without the chazan's beautiful voice in the company of our friends and neighbors. We need to contemplate the tshuva process and how to internalize that. And we can focus on the shofar and understand it a little deeper, even if we won't be able to hear the 100 blasts, and we'll be lucky if we can hear the 30. And somehow I feel that as we say the words, mi yichyeu, mi yamut, who will live and who will die? Mi ba'esh, mi ba'mayim, who by fire, who by water? Mi barash, mi ba'magefa, who by earthquake and who by magefa, by disease? I think those words will have a lot more meaning for us now that we've seen this idea play out, unfortunately, over and over again before our very eyes. You think about how many people said those words last Rosh Hashanah without even contemplating for a second that they might, unfortunately, apply to them. And when we say the words, Moloch al kol ha'aretz kulo, right, that we coronate Hashem as king over ourselves, reminding of us of who runs the world and controls everything in it, we'll say it with a lot more feeling because we've learned that lesson so clearly this year. So we're going to really try and focus today on Rosh Chodesh Elul to begin to prepare us for what just might be an unforgettable Rosh Hashanah, and not in a negative way, hopefully in a positive way. Okay, we'll hear first from Rebbetzin Shoshi Nissenbaumpool, who will be doing a machzor workshop with us, analyzing the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah and helping us to really understand what it is that we are saying. We'll then hear a fascinating personal tshuva story from Devorah Sisso, which will hopefully inspire us in our personal tshuva. From there, we'll go to an inspirational shiur from Rabbi Meir Goldwicht about the power of our tefillot, and finally, have a hands-on shofar workshop. I just wanted to take a moment to thank the Brachveld family for sponsoring this Rosh Chodesh seminar and every single seminar, which has really been many of our lifelines. You know, we can't, nowadays it's not the same, right? We don't have that same feeling of coming to a seminar packed with women and getting that not only spiritual but social connection. But still, the idea of being able to tap in at least once a month for a morning of learning, preparing us for the month ahead, has been an amazing thing. So we really have to thank the Brachvelds for that. This shiur should be in loving memory of Mrs. Linda Pruer Brachveld, Rat Chaya Sasha, Bat Rav Yosef Hillah.